All right, so we are in Genesis 40 tonight. We should get the whole chapter tonight, to be quite honest. It's may not be as much meat as normal, but it is still, again, as I've told you the last several weeks, continues some of my favorite chapters in the entire Old Testament. It says, sometime later, the cupbearer, the baker of the king, offended their master, the king of Egypt. So what had happened when we ended 39 was Joseph was thrown in prison, thrown in jail, so to, you know, whatever you want to call it. And we'll see here in just a moment where exactly it was. But as I ended last week, I did a little bit of speculating on my own. There's nothing in here that says it, but I really don't believe that Potiphar believed his wife fully. I believe if he did, he had it in his power to execute Joseph. I believe he understood Mrs. Potiphar was a troublemaker. I may be wrong in that regard, but it says sometime later, and we don't know again for sure exactly how long Joseph was in prison, about 2 years. So we don't know how long this was here, though. It says sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. So Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody. So what's going to happen to them was they were basically charged with the same crime, so to speak, as Joseph. They offended their master. Joseph offended his master's wife, but they offended their master. Doesn't say what they did. It just said they offended him. And so since they offended their master, they were thrown in prison as well. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody. And I don't know how for 40 years I had read over this, but when I started studying it this week, I guess I'd never had paid attention to where the jail was. He put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. So Joseph, unless the narrator's given us something that we probably wouldn't have to have, for the most part, Joseph is in confinement, prison, dungeon, jail, whatever you want to call it, in a room connected to Potiphar's house, because that's what it says here. He put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, where the captain of the guard is Potiphar. And that's where his house is, and in the same prison where Joseph was confined. So in a sense, you can say this is like house confinement or house arrest. Now, it's still arrest. It's still imprisonment. It's still, they don't have the same, you know, freedoms that they would have had. But I don't know why for years I just thought this was a different prison, different jail. But so they're placed in there. The captain of the guard, and again, we don't know why now it's saying this instead of Potiphar, but the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. And some translations say that he waited on them. If you go back to 23, you don't have to up there, get catfish. I'm sorry, 22, chapter 39, verse 22 and 23, it says, so the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care. Some scholars say that 39 and 40 should be separated because they think it happened at different times, but I don't believe that. I believe the wording they use is on the translation here is that he served them. Well, if he's serving them, then he wouldn't be put in charge of all the prison. But it doesn't mean that. It basically meant that he tended to their care. A chief steward tended to the care. Like Joseph was the chief steward of Potiphar's house. He tended to Potiphar's care. He made sure, you know, he had food on the table, made sure everything was taken care of the house, made sure his money was in order and all that stuff. And so the guy that's in charge, the warden, said, hey, here's two new people. You tend to them. Make sure they got everything they need. So that's all that means there. So they have offended their boss, their master, and Joseph did the same. Joseph was put in prison. Joseph's now in charge. After they had been in custody for some time, again, we don't know how long exactly, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, by the way, this has not really got anything to do with what we're looking at tonight. But the reason, another reason some people say this is different is there's different usages of God in the Hebrew. There's Yahweh and there's Elohim. And anytime the narrator talks, which we believe Moses, you know, transcribed all this, that they use the word Yahweh. Anytime Joseph talks, for some reason, Joseph uses Elohim, which is, you know, could be any god. So he talks about the gods of Egypt. But even when Joseph says, doesn't God know all dreams, he uses actually Elohim there. And, you know, again, some commentators say that if he had used Yahweh, there would have been no doubt about who he was giving credit to. But nonetheless, that's just a little sidebar there for you. It says, each to the two men, the cupbearer and the baker, in verse 5, of the king of Egypt who were being held in prison had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. So you got to read this as all of us, I would think, believe it as the sovereignty of God. What are the odds of both of them having a dream like this on the same night and not understanding anything about it? It'd be different if they have one on one night and one on the next. They had them on the exact same night. That's obviously the hand of God. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw them and they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had a dream," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" That's where he uses Elohim, where he could have used Yahweh. But he says, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." Now, Joseph is 100% right in this, that interpretations do belong to God. But what you will notice is that after both of these guys tell their dreams to Joseph, he doesn't go any time to prayer. He doesn't get any time to saying, "Hey, let's consult with God on this." He gives them immediate translations of what their dream means. I'm not saying he's jumping ahead. Maybe God had foretold him and we just don't have that. But Joseph obviously knew the heart of God enough to understand what God wanted him to say in this. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In all my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes." Now this is full of threes here. We're not going to get into this too much. But in the dream, he said in front of him, there's three verbs in 10. On the vine, there were three branches. There's three there. And as soon as it budded, it blossomed, and it ripened. There's three verbs there. And then Pharaoh's cup was in his hand, and he took the grapes, and he squeezed the grapes, and then he put the cup in his hand. So there's three more verbs there. And so this is what it means, Joseph said to him. There's three branches and there's 3 days. So there's three verbs, there's three more verbs. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head. This is the third time that phrase will be used, lift up your head. Not the third time, that's the first of three. Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. By the way, lift up your head could mean more than one thing. It could mean literally to lift you back up into position, or it can mean lift your head off. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. Now, we don't know what they did to him. We don't know if he served him bad wine. We don't know if the baker served him bad cake. We don't know. We just know that Pharaoh, for some reason, is upset with them. And Joseph makes no hesitation saying, "You're going to be restored and you're going to be put back in your place." But, Joseph said, which lets you know he is 100% human, and I don't think there's anything wrong with this, "but when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve to be put in this dungeon." So Joseph now has given him information that obviously the guy probably doesn't care about, but he's, you know, it goes back to what we said a few weeks ago. Joseph probably, he's got to still have this dialect. He's learned a new language. He's learned new customs. He has to be speaking in a way that this guy knows. Hey, he's not from here. I don't know how good, you know, his, trying to think, I'm drawing a blank on what they spoke, Egyptian language there. So he's speaking Hebrew. So there, again, there has to be some dialect. It's probably not quite as bad as when we go to Guatemala. I mean, it doesn't take long for them to figure out, hey, this guy's not from here. I'm sure he'd been there several years at this point, but there still probably had to be a little bit of, hey, this guy's not from here. So, and we'll get to this in a minute, Joseph explains his situation. He goes, I didn't do anything to get brought to this country, and I certainly didn't do anything to be put in this prison. But, so here's what happened. You can imagine these guys go up, he goes up to Joseph. The cupbearer goes to him, and Joseph says, well, here's your dream. This is what's going to happen. And it was a good interpretation. So naturally, the baker's like, okay, my turn now. Well, see, the baker's not going to get quite as good a news. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket of my head. Now, I was reading one commentator on this, said it wouldn't take a genius to figure out this dream's probably not going to end well. I mean, if birds are eating something out of your head, you got to think, okay, maybe they're eating my brain. What does that mean? This is what it means, Joseph said. Again, he doesn't pause. He just goes right into it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head. Remember, this is the other one there. And you will hang on a tree, and the birds will eat away at your flesh. Now, it doesn't really say what the guy did here. I would go to the corner at that point and probably just get down in a fetal position because, the first one's coming through. Now the third day, there's a three again, was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads, there's the third time, of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. Again, we don't have the information, and I'll tell you that in a minute. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. He used two different verbs there to stress the point that he not only did not forget him, you say, well, that's redundant. It is, but he's getting the point across. He did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. So three things here that we look at are this. First of all, we continue this theme of Joseph. Now, when you go back and read some of this, I know a lot of you are much more detail-oriented than I am. I'm more big picture. I want to hear stories and stuff like that. But when you read this, sometimes you want to say, hey, what happened to Potiphar's wife? We don't know. We don't have that information because Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph. We don't know if she's sitting there smiling. We don't know if Potiphar's like, you know what, I don't believe you. We don't know that. We don't know what these two did to get it put into prison. And we don't know why Pharaoh raised one up but then took the head off another. Now, I know human nature is like, man, I just like to know that. And it's one of those things like people say, well, we won't know everything until we get in heaven. I don't know that we'll know this in heaven because it's really not that important. And here's why we don't have it here. It's not that important here. Because the general theme is this, that the narrator is trying to get us this. The point across is what is going on in Joseph's life. It's not what's important in something else. So I'm reading / listening to a book on Ulysses S. Grant, and I know a little bit about the time. And so I'm listening, I'm thinking, and I was listening to it the other day, and I thought, well, they're leaving out this and they're leaving out that. And I got to thinking, oh, that's not important. It's not, because this book is focusing on Grant. It's not focusing on Johnson, who took over after Lincoln. It's not focusing on Edwin Stanton, who's the Secretary of War at that time. It's not focusing on any of that. It's focusing on Grant's life. And so what this passage here from 37 on is focusing on Joseph. Well, why would the focus be on Joseph? And which brings us, basically to the... Whoa. Thank you, Fish. That's kind of dramatic there as I get to give number two. You told me to keep you awake. That'll keep you awake there. Which brings us to the next 2 points. And the last two is this, that, and I've already forgotten one of them because the lights have messed me up and I didn't write this down, but is this, that first of all, that God's hand is in Joseph's life. We see that continually. We see it in the providence of God all throughout this, that God has taken care of him. God has guided him. We see the presence of God in Joseph's life, obviously by the fact that he's able to interpret these dreams, and there's nothing in here that says he did this wrongly and that he did it right. Now, that doesn't mean that just because somebody says something and it comes true that it's obviously God speaking through them. But the narrator in this gives us this, that's what he's wanting us to get, that Joseph had spent time with God. Can you imagine being in Joseph's position? I imagine he spent a lot of times probably on his knees. We don't know that again. But continually, the narrator does give us this, that the presence of God was with him, and God was with him, and God was with him. So we understand that the presence of God is on his life. So why would we leave out all those other details? To let us see that God's sovereign hand was on Joseph's life, because this passage is about Joseph. And then go back to the last thing is this, is that Joseph says there in 15, "For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even I have done nothing to deserve being put here." So Joseph, if you go back, he was forcibly carried out of Egypt, okay? His brothers sold him into slavery, and then he goes and Potiphar buys him, and then he's forcibly moved out of there into this dungeon and into this prison. And then we're going to see here, this is the third time that something's, you know, not went his way, because then this guy goes in, the cupbearer's restored, Joseph has done him a favor, and he forgets him again. So here we have three times Joseph that something's bad happened to him, and he has done, technically speaking, nothing wrong. I know we're all sinners, but he's done nothing to deserve all this. He didn't do anything to deserve being sold into prison or sold into slavery. He did nothing wrong with Potiphar's wife, and he's done nothing wrong here. Yet these things keep going against him. So now you see why the narrator's focused on Joseph's life. If we get all these other details, we get bogged down and, oh, why did he do this? Why did he do this? But we see here that all along, all throughout this, and we're going to see it at the end of this, that God has his sovereign hand on Joseph. And he's preparing him, and he's using him, and eventually he's going to be second in command. He's going to be the prime minister, and he's going to run all of Egypt. Well, how does he do that? Because he's got this resume of running Potiphar's house. He's run a prison, so he has this administrative background. So God was preparing him for all of that. Now, what does that mean to all of you in Danville Baptist Church in 2020? Again, we don't want to read ourselves into this text. We don't want to go, man, that's me. I remember one time my family tried to sell me off. And we don't want to read ourselves into this. We just understand this, that God is sovereign. God's in control. I don't know where you're at. Don't know what situation you're going through. We know this, that if we, the Bible promises us this, that if we seek him, you know, that we'll find him. And I know, again, that's a different text and a different thing, but the Bible is very consistent with that, that God makes sure that if we want to find him, we're going to find him. And so we need to spend time. We need to have the presence of God in our lives. And that way, when situations do arise, then obviously we're able to respond to them in a way that pleases him. And then just to understand that God is in complete control of everything that goes on. God's in the control of the coronavirus. God's in control of your work life. God's in control of everything. And so we just put complete trust in him. And then we look back, like Joseph's going to be able to, when it's all said and done, say, oh, they meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. Or this was meant for bad, or somebody did this for this, but God was in control all along. All right, so next week we go into this. Pharaoh's going to have some dreams. Well, guess what? Now Joseph's got experience in interpreting dreams. So now he gets to interpret dreams for the big guy in the country there. So God all along has this plan who he's preparing Joseph, and that's what he's doing in our lives as well. All right, let me pray for you. I don't really have much business tonight to update you on, but let me pray. Father, we do love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it does not return void. And we pray, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for Joseph and this. We get to read about his life, and it's a blessing to be able to read your word. And we pray you'd help us to apply it. Help us to be salt and light this week, and help people to see Jesus in us and everything we do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.